Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 40, July 22nd, 2009. We're dealing with serious issues in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. We're trying to prepare you to face the test of life. Last yesterday, we were dealing with the spiritual growth stages and the tests, both the system tests. The system test, we remind you, relates to God's organization systems, both in the spiritual world and in the material world, under the laws of divine establishment for temporal living, which relate to the law of individuality, the law of marriage, the law of family, the law of national sovereign governments, which we have dealt with in the past. Closed out the class with the principles that the believer is also tested on God's laws of temporal establishment, living in areas of personal life, marriage, family life, and relationship to his nation. Every area in which the believer learns the doctrinal concepts that the Father established for temporal living. Temporal living testing is secondary to the system and individual test for spiritual capacity, though the Father often interlocks them for the greater benefit of the believer. That was the principle we closed with. We immediately had that brought home to us yesterday when went down to meet Linda after work to help her make it home. And God graciously provided us with a ride home. A man showed up unexpectedly and dropped us off at the house. And we got in the house. Linda informed me that she had her ankle had given out on her yesterday and she had fallen on the sidewalk. So she could have broke a hip or something, but she didn't. But she has two very large bruises. One of them covers almost the whole area from the knee to the hip on one side. The other one is a smaller one just above the knee, but still bigger than your hand. Testings. The things we have to do, though, is face the issue that we have to pass the test of life. We have to use God's divine problem-solving devices. The first thing we have to pass is the spiritual test. The spiritual test that goes with the temporal, whether it's a health problem or a fall like Linda took, or the surgery from a week ago, or last Thursday, not quite a week yet, tomorrow will be a week, that we were just rejoicing it went so smoothly when she took the fall. But the spiritual test behind it, the spiritual reasons behind it become the issue. Proverbs 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." King James translation. First, we had to memorize. We didn't have to, but we memorized many, many, many years ago. An impact verse for life. Learning how to put God's issues first. New American Standard translates it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Charles Ryrie says that wisdom not only delivers one from evil, but promises certain rewards, longevity, and peace. Favor with God and man, verses 3 and 4, guidance, verses 5 and 6, health and refreshment, 7, 8, prosperity, 9 and 10, proper response to discipline, verses 11 to 12. Today we're going to start dealing with the divine problem-solving devices the Father has given, which I call the Father's problem-solving grace blessings provision package. The Father's problem-solving grace blessings provision package. I have 30-something divine provisions that the Father has given to us, and there will probably be more. I'm going to be working on this today, and I may find some more and bring some more out in my studies. But these I've dealt with over the years. I've not talked to you in a long time. I don't know that I've ever taught the full list at one time. possibly back in a special series a number of years ago. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity in the teaching of the Word of God. Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish all that you have designed it for. Bless you, sanctified and blessed in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, said, even so come. Lord Jesus, amen. We recently took you through God's divine power system. We point out to you gate one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the power gate. The basic Christian modus operandi gate for orientation is the orientation gate, was gate two. Gate three was enforced in genuine humility. And this makes you, gives you teachability. Enforced humility is self-discipline. We added that organizational humility in which you learn how to accept legitimate organizations and systems and work within them. Rear General Turner Ashby, who gave his life in the war between the states from Virginia, cavalry officer, was given an independent command by Secretary of the War, Jedediah Benjamin, one of the several Secretaries of War the Confederacy had, who also served as their Attorney General and as Secretary of State. Then went over to England, later became very famous in England. Jedediah Benjamin was not a military man. And Ashby took his independence as a Western Virginia man from western part of Virginia. And his men did. He never got his unit organized the way they should have. Consequently, he performed some very heroic deeds, but a very lack of organizational discipline upon his men prevented Stonewall Jackson completely destroying an army on the run, because he had no cavalry to pursue them in one of his victories in the Shenandoah Valley, because the cavalry was too busy. Since Ashby's cavalry collected and supplied their own horses and all, they were too busy rounding up horses, looting Union wagons and all, or confiscating, whatever you want to call it, supplies that they needed for their unit. Ashby was off elsewhere, and his captains, his men, were taking the plunder of war, and therefore missed the greater opportunity. At that time, you must learn organizational humility. Churches are destroyed because people can't function within God's system of organization, legitimate organization. I'm not talking about tyranny. Force plus organizational humility, we saw, equal produces genuine humility. This allows you to move on to the gate where you metabolize the Word of God, make it, put it into your soul and fully understand it. Perception, application of the Word of God, Bible doctrine, and this becomes the momentum gate. As you take the doctrine, learn it, believe it by faith, and the filling of the Spirit, and the teachability of the Spirit within your soul, and you transfer it. It's just filtered through the human spirit, through the work of the Spirit, pneumatikos, work of the Spirit, into the human soul, where you evaluate it, categorize it for future use. The fifth gate we saw is the gate of motivational virtue, fellowship with God. The gate of motivational virtue is a gate where you develop your spiritual self-esteem and your personal love for the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Gate six is the gate of functional virtue toward people and circumstances. This gate is based upon agape love, integrity love toward other people. It handles your entire relationship with other people. Our motivational virtue toward God produces functional virtue, motivational virtue toward people, functional virtue. This is the gate where you develop spiritual autonomy based upon your integrity love, which we also call impersonal love because it's based upon who and what you are as a believer in the doctrine you have in your soul and not who and what the object of your love is. You then get into accelerated growth as you face momentum testing. This will bring you to graduation from basic trainings, the gate of spiritual maturity. We've covered all that in the past. Now, once you get out of basic training and start learning how to live your life, you've got to learn, you learn in advanced training how to handle the issues of life by using God's divine provisions. The Father has provided for you and for me a complete package of grace blessings. Spiritual issue allows you to pass the spiritual issue, and you'll pass the temporal issue, the material life issue. Point one, the Father has provided every believer his divine grace problem-solving provisions as a part of the believer's grace blessings package for living the Christian life in time. The Father has provided every believer with his divine grace problem-solving provisions as a part of the believer's grace blessings package for living the Christian life in time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There had no temptation or test taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above that you are able, but will with the temptation or test also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Point two, the Father's purpose in providing this package. Sorry, I had to close the one that was extremely hot here. We've been up in some high temperatures for this area out here in our apartment. It's hot. And I was letting the fresh air flow through, but one of my neighbors that believes in warming up cars even when it's 65 degrees outside or 60 degrees outside did so right in my window. So I apologize. The Father's purpose in providing this package of divine problem-solving grace blessings is to carry the believer through every spiritual and temporal life test that we will face in the Christian life while conforming him to the image of his Son. The Father wants to solve our problems by taking us through every spiritual and temporal life test, the Christian life, to conform us to the image of his Son. Philippians 2, 12 to 16. Philippians 2, 12 to 16. Wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. God works in us as we work out and understand what's going on. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We put that with Romans 8, 28 to 34. Romans 8, 28 to 34. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. The Father's object is to conform us to the image of His Son. Point three, the divine problem-solving blessings package is beyond the comprehension of all created beings, and therefore the enemies of the believer cannot devise any system to overcome it. I repeat this very important point, the divine problem-solving grace blessings package is beyond the comprehension of all created beings, and therefore the enemies of the believer cannot devise any system to overcome it. Isaiah 55, 7 and 8. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. Isaiah 55, 7 to 11, with 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for no other further foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, though as by fire. I'm sorry, I read you 1 Corinthians 3. I got distracted outside my window. Someone looked in to see what I was doing. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. My apology, I do make mistakes, particularly when I try to teach under some of the circumstances we have to teach under these days. But doctrine is real, and we'll get the message out. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. For God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We have a divine grace blessings package that cannot be comprehended by the enemy. Therefore, if you use it, you will have the rewards that we read about in 1 Corinthians 3 there at the judgment seat of Christ. You can reap rewards by using the Father's divine provisions to meet the tests that you're going through in life, whether it's dying grace tests, whether it's suffering for blessing tests, whatever it may be. Point four, from the dispensation of Alpha, also we call the dispensation of the triune Godhead, eternity past, the pre-creation eternity. The Father has both known and established the end results of every action of every created being. The dispensation of the triune God at Alpha, pre-creation eternity. The Father has both known and established the end results of every action of every created being, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. 1:5, the Father's eternal grace plan of the ages comes forth from the Father's eternal decreative will, and therefore it cannot fail. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices of a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Psalm 103:19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Revelation 17:7 compared to Revelation 17:7. Compared to Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36, look the wrong way through my bifocals. That verse goes with the next point. Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Ephesians 1, 9 to 11. Ephesians 1, 9 to 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth. Even him in whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The Father's got everything under control. He's working everything out to his ultimate glory, to the ultimate glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The covenant, compact, contract, the term you want to choose to use, part in the overlapping meaning of it, that was made between the Father and the Son. The eternal life conference and the dispensation of the triune Godhead, pre-creation eternity, in which the Father intends to bring maximum glorification to the Son through making him the God-man through hypostatic union. Accomplish all the work of the Father gave him to do and will give him to do. Cannot fail. The Father will honor the Son to the maximum. Point 6, the Father will use all human actions, no matter how wicked, to bring about conditions that will lead to the ultimate praise of God, or else he utilizes his overruling will to prevent their occurrence. Psalm 76. Verse 10. How many times have you heard me give you this verse over and over again, trying to have it hold to you? Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Proverbs 16:33. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast to the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You can cast your lots to see what the answer will be, but God the Father has already decreed and determined what is going to happen. I'm not a fatalist, I understand. Know that everything is included in the Father's decreative will. His directive will, that which he would desire us to do. His permissive will, that which he allows us to do. His overruling will, that where he intervenes to prevent us from going too far. And behind the scenes, bringing everything together in his secret will. Revelation 17:7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. All right, here is a mystery, God says, I will show you. The angel said, the mystery. He's speaking of the mystery of Babylon, religious Babylon, behind the scenes evil. But then he compares it, we have to compare it to 2 Thessalonians 2:7, when the Antichrist comes after the rapture of the church. He cannot come until the church has been removed, the translation of the church, the rapture. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 said, for the mystery of iniquity is authority work on he who now letteth. And the word letteth in the Greek there means hindereth, will hinder, literally, until he be taken out of the way. At the rapture, the church will be taken out. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells the church. The Holy Spirit's restraining ministry of certain evil will then be removed. Remember, at the moment of the rapture, there will not, every unbeliever will be removed from the face of this earth, and suddenly there will be no believers on the earth. There will be no believers until the 144,000 Jews are redeemed and sealed. There will be a transition period there. It will be very short, but for the first time in human history since Adam and Eve were saved in the garden on the day they fell, the earth will be without a believer. There will be no salt or no light at all there. Evil will suddenly be released. The 144,000 cannot be sealed until we actually begin the 70th week of Daniel following the transition period, which will occur when the Antichrist, the dictator of Europe, not the dictator of Islam, but the dictator of Europe, I disagree with some of my colleagues and stand with many others, the one who will rise to rule over the European Federation, will make his pact with the false prophet who will rise to rule over the Israel, the nation of Israel, the Mideast Cosmic Peace Treaty, in which Israel will completely militarily disarm in exchange for guaranteed military security from the Antichrist, who won't call himself that, but that's who he will be. Why will Israel disarm at that point? I don't know, but I have, my friend Carl Neal many years ago came up with the concept, and I like it, and I think it makes very logical sense that Israel will agree to disarm when they make the Mideast Cosmic Peace Treaty. It will start the actual countdown to the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ by being told that if you'll sign this treaty and militarily disarm, we will allow you to destroy the Mosque of Omar and rebuild the Temple of Jerusalem, where the Mosque of Omar now stands. Carl is a man who spent his life studying and teaching the Word of God. Well, like all of us, we may see things a little bit different at times. I think this was a very important, exceptional breakthrough that he had there. It's very logical to me. But up until then, there will be this short transition period between the rapture and the signing of the Cosmic Mideast Peace Treaty, in which there will be a war in Europe between seven nations, or three nations, in the battle of who's going to control the Federation. The Antichrist will step in, side with the seven. The Pope will bring him into power, and he will crush the other three and realign the European government. Then he will immediately make his treaty with the false prophet. Until then, until the rapture, though, the Holy Spirit is restraining his spirit. The demonic spirit that will indwell the Antichrist is present in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is among us, 1 John says. But he cannot, the mystery cannot come forth. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until after the rapture. The Holy Spirit will not let it occur. We won't get into who is the Antichrist today. That's nothing to do with this study. Point 7, the Father's decree of will included the giving of free will volition to the Adamic human race, Genesis 2, 7-25. God has given us volition under the law of individuality, Genesis 2, 7-25. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that which encompasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that that encompasses the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Adikiel, that which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Clear in the Hebrew, dying thou shalt surely die. All right, Adam was given volition. You can choose whether you want to eat peaches, oranges, tomatoes. What do you want to eat? But you cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was not an apple tree. That is a satanic piece of stupidity. It was a special tree created for a special purpose. The test was, would Adam eat of it or not eat of it? Whatever fruit it is doesn't exist anymore because the tree doesn't exist anymore. The Garden of Eden does not exist anymore upon this earth. The tree of life has been transplanted from the Garden of Eden to the paradise of the third heaven, which is in the New Jerusalem. Adam had to choose what he would eat. It goes on, though. And the Lord God said, It is not good for man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam. He had already created them, but he brought them to Adam at this point, one by one. There's a gap there. And said to him what he called him, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam identified every animal, every bird, every sea life, every living creature. And Adam gave names to cattle, to the fowls of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. As he looked at all these animals, he didn't have a helpmeet. He couldn't find anybody he could name. No birds, nobody to be his wife. Pets do not take the place of a married partner. I'm sorry to tell you, but it does not happen. Scripture says it, teaches it right here in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. There are many people that settle for a pet, particularly a lot of women. The liberated woman today with her pet, with her cat, instead of her husband. A sad commentary where Satan has brought the human race through satanic viewpoint and human viewpoint. Verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And when he took of the rib and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, in the Hebrew, Isha, because she was taken out of man, Ish. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. This is the story of God, the Son, taking Eve out the special rib inside of Eve, Adam, in which Eve was in incubation. Soul was in incubation, taking it, creating a body and the soul, and the Father, Nashamad, soul life to it. Biological life to it. Adam took one look at it and said, That's my woman. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I need. That's what will be complete me. And Eve looked at Adam and knew he was there to fulfill her. Volition to choose. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Point 8, the fact that the Father has given every member of the Adamic human race volition means that each individual person stands accountable to God for every thought, word, and deed. Romans 14:10-12. We're going to give an account, believers and unbelievers alike. Unbelievers at the white throne judgment. Believers That's the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10-12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. For the believer, we compare that to 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. That's the believer's accountability. Unbeliever's accountability is found in Revelation 20:11-15. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Point 9. The Father's grace gift of volition to the Adamic human race proves that his decree of will is not the basis for a system of fatalism. The Father's grace gift of volition to the Adamic human race proves that his decree of will is not the basis for a system of fatalism. Point 10. The Father's eternal plan of the ages is a grace plan, so his decree of will has rejected human merit and human achievement as the basis for salvation. And Christian living. For salvation, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world that he might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. We compare that to the concepts that denounce human good, Isaiah 64:6. We're all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind have taken us away. And the other old familiar passage that rejects all things done in the flesh, and therefore human good as well as sin and evil, Romans 8:8. So then they that in the flesh cannot please God. Principle, the Father's divine problem-solving devices are not a simple step manual of temporal life action, but solutions to spiritual tests, and will lead the believer to make good decisions in handling the temporal life portions of each test. You have to make good decisions to handle the spiritual life portion before you handle the temporal life portion. Point 11, the Father's eternal plan of the ages is a grace plan in which he rejects all human merit. Isaiah 64:6. Which we just read to you, along with Romans 8:8. God is in control. 12. The Father's eternal grace plan of the ages makes eternal values the primary issue in life and not temporal life values. Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore I say, you take no thought of your life, whether you shall eat or whether you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add any one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Living life one day at a time, handling first of all the Father's provisions for spiritual life, and then meeting our temporal life goals. It doesn't mean you don't have a job. It doesn't mean you don't wear clothes. All kind of weird things that you could take out and misunderstand the passage. You have to put in the context of where it's written and put in the context of all Scripture. The Father's eternal grace plan of the ages makes eternal values the primary issue in life and not temporal life values. That's what the passage teaches clearly. All right, A, in regard to salvation, Mark 8, 34 to 38. And when he called the people unto them, his disciples, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he save shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. There will be believers that will know shame at the judgment seat of Christ. And because Christ is the head of the body, he will know the shame, he will endure the shame of us at the judgment seat of Christ. Did you realize that our Lord Jesus Christ will have to accept the shameful responsibility for what happens at the judgment seat of Christ? Because we are members of his body, mystical body. We're a part of his universal church. We're his bride. Our failures, our lack of honors, will actually shame our Lord Jesus Christ as well as shame us. Part of our guilt that will be removed there, be burned up, or our shame, I should say, that will be moved up, burned up, will be when we say, yes, sir, we blew it. Yes, sir, we blew that test. Yes, sir, we lost that opportunity. Yes, sir, we failed. Yes, sir, Lord Jesus Christ, we put the things of this world ahead of the things of you. Salvation becomes the issue. John 3:16-18 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world that might be saved. All right. The Father's provision in regard to the Christian life. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Compared to 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, our passage that I accidentally read you earlier on rewards. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Now, point 13. The Father is conforming each one of us individually to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. And we know that for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Point 14. Conformity to Christ means to think and act as he did. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thinking like Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Hebrews 5, compared to Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong teeth, crying in tears unto him that is able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through suffering, through other things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We are to imitate Christ. We are to be conformed to his image. Point 15. Christ always used the Father's divine provided solutions to every problem. Matthew 4:4, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Luke 4:4 says the same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When Christ went into the wilderness to be tempted, we are told very clearly a very incredible thing that believers often miss out on, and therefore blow the whole concept. 16. Christ was led into the world of testing by the Spirit. Luke 4:1 says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He didn't just go in the wilderness on his own to face Satan. He was led there. The Father had a purpose in allowing him to go into the wilderness. We get an even stronger concept in Mark 1:12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. The Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Think about it. Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Father has a plan. His plan includes his divine problem-solving devices. I have worked out a listing which we will be teaching you of at least 34, giving you the problem and the solution to the problem. These are all problem-solving device provisions for believers. There is only one problem-solving provision for unbelievers. The unbeliever's problem is he is spiritually dead. Cut off from God, from God's blessings, and eternally condemned. The solution, salvation, through faith in Christ, accepting the Father's free gift. The Father has offered him. And I fully believe, understand that the Father does the work of drawing the believer. The Son calls the believer, the Holy Spirit woos the believer. But the greatest gift is salvation through faith in Christ and his finished work on Calvary, the work of atonement. That's the salvation issue. God is not in the process of, he does provide for the believers, we've taught. The grace that God pours out to the believer, preparational grace, the unbeliever, preparational grace to bring the unbeliever to the point where he can believe in Christ and be saved. We've taught all that. We'll teach it again someday, perhaps. Put it in the grace notebook if we get the grace notebook out. But the Father has provided divine assets that will be used to solve your problems and mine in life. They start with spiritual issues. These include the cause or accompanying suffering. Each of the gates of the palace that we just dealt with, the gates of the divine dynasphere, the gates of the power system, the gates of God's palace, the filling spirit gives us power, the basic Christian modus operandi, which we orientate, doctrinal orientation as we start getting it. The third gate, enforced plus organizational humility equals genuine humility, making us giving us teachability. The fourth gate, the gate where we understand, believe, categorize, examine, I should say, categorize and metabolize Bible doctrine to give us spiritual momentum. The fifth gate is the gate where we get fellowship with God through motivational virtue, our love for God. Fellowship, love with God. Gate six is the gate of functional virtue toward people and circumstances, our relationship with people, places and things, which comes from the utilization of integrity love, agape love, which is the first manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, toward the Adamic human race, saved and lost. Gate seven is the gate of accelerated growth, where we pass the momentum test of life to advance to spiritual maturity. And at the gate of spiritual maturity, the gate of the adult, we've dealt with the systems of, you go from baby believers, the brephos, for the child to take neon, to the adolescent, the adult. As an adult believer, you graduate from basic training. You've got fundamental, basic, spiritual maturity. Then you move on to advanced infantry training or advanced individual training, AIT. And you start getting what you need to do to live and function as a royal priest, a royal ambassador, and a royal soldier. Here in the advanced stage section, you suddenly discover that the Father has given you certain assets for living the Christian way of life. The Father has provided for you opportunities to be light and salt, to become an invisible hero, to bring blessing by association to others, by being light to the unsaved world, by being salt to your nation, by having international impact, by having angelic impact, and by passing the colors on to other believers. The Father has provided you a package to do so. And this package of divine assets, we need to use our operational assets. We need to see what God has got for us. It includes the Father's provision of the divine problem-solving devices. The Father gave you, each one of us, a portfolio of invisible assets. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He gives us blessings for time. My God shall supply all your need according to his abundant riches in Christ Jesus. He gives us blessings for eternity. The old passage in 1 Peter, that means so much. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God and through faith in the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have the assets that God gave us at salvation, blessings package. We have three major areas of salvation, of blessings that are our primary blessings. Election. We're elected to blessing. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Predestination. And then all the other salvation, grace, blessings that are in the package there. Those are our primary portfolio of invisible assets. Our secondary portfolio of invisible assets are volitional assets. Confession of sin, the ability to metabolize Bible doctrine. Apply the doctrine. To go through epistemological rehabilitation and remove scar tissue from the soul and human viewpoint, learn to think like Christ. And how to operate in the divine power system. Then we have God's blessings to deal with the problems of life. The assets to go with it. We'll pick this up in the next class. Father, we thank you for teaching your word. Your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise. You will not return void, but accomplish all you designed it for. In Christ's name we pray. Say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.